On your mark, get set, save. Get to Nissan's Bottom Line Summer event and take home a winner with big model year-end offers on our award-winning lineup. Hurry, offers end soon. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to the second episode of Being Brilliant Radio Show. This radio show is really teaching you how to ignite your life and shine. This is what we're all about here today. And it's really about taking a deep, impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. And so I'm inviting you, my listeners, to step into the very essence of who you're being as you show up to life. Okay, so herein is a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies that my interviewees will help you look at and address, okay? So my interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, way seers, and friends and family. Those who, in my eye, live brilliantly, and who travel magically through life, shining their light so that everyone else. So today, I am extremely excited to be interviewing a very dear friend whom I met in the States about 3 years ago. Her name is Melody, and she goes by the name Master Mel. She's an inspirational speaker, coach, and master instructor of karate. And she uses an integrative approach to teach leaders and entrepreneurs how they enjoy and physical experience as they build a successful business that they truly makes a difference. So Mel has also overcome quite a lot in her life, including bullying, bulimia, domestic abuse, psychology, health and fitness, to work with organizations and individuals who are ready for the next level of mastery in their lives. She has a master's degree in spiritual psychology. I love that woo-woo stuff, so we'll be getting lots of that today. She's a certified nutritional consultant. She's a fifth Dan Black Belt. I'm going to be asking her exactly what that means. And she was recently inducted into the Karate Youth of Fame. Her fitness programs have won accolades, and she is just one hell of a kick-ass woman. And I'm pretty sure on the show. So, Mel, welcome to Being Brilliant Radio Show, episode number 2.
Oh, thank you. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
Yay,
we've certainly come
we
a long
it.
Way
We're
in
here.
3 years.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So I'd like to kick off with a little bit about where you've come from. Now, you mentioned, I mentioned just a moment ago about some things you've had to work through life to get to where you are now, so including bullying, bulimia, domestic abuse, and life as a single mom. Could you just, because there are a lot of people that resonate with many of those issues, a lot of people who have been through some things or are going through things, to start with an introduction, and then we will expand into where you are now and the steps along the way that you've taken to get to where you are.
Well, I think, you know, when I was a kid, it sounds so funny, but let's start at the beginning. When I was a kid,
yeah.
I was pretty smart. I did well in school. And what happened is because I got a lot of attention for that, the popular kids in school didn't like that so much. So it started a cycle of abuse as a kid that I had a hard time getting out of for a long time. And so,
right.
Because what they did is they moved me up. I don't know if they still do this now, but they moved me up into a grade ahead of everybody else. And so I was a year younger than all the rest of my classmates. And it was actually pretty challenging as a kid. And I didn't really have a boyfriend growing up, and I ended up marrying the very first person that paid attention to me.
Wow.
It was crazy. But so I really didn't have a lot of experience in relationships or in how to make these things work or what I should even look for in a spouse. I just believed that love, you know, could conquer all. And coming from a very religious mm-hmm. family as well, I just believed, that we were getting married, and because of God and our love, it would just work. Unfortunately, he was he had some mental problems. He had—he was bipolar, actually, and it just started and continued a cycle of abuse that I started to, well, maybe not started to, but I really took on as, wow, this maybe is what I deserve, or maybe this is how life is. And I had a belief system based on experience, essentially. And it wasn't until I was able to come out of that, and I had a few big aha moments there that I really, and I had a couple of children, that I started doing things for them, things that I didn't know I could do for myself, I started to do for them, and I found that strength that I needed to really stop that cycle of abuse. And not just from him or from other people, but really the abuse that I had been putting on myself and changed mm-hmm. those inner mm-hmm. belief systems. And it took a lot of work. And of course, I'm still on that journey of really of self-compassion and working with myself, and which is why I've gone into mastery as part of my work, because that is what that's what I'm all about. I'm into mastering these very, very simple concepts and working on, you know, updating my beliefs on a continuous basis.
That's fantastic. And I think you and I have both been on this journey for a while. and I relate when you're talking about the self-abuse, it sort of comes down to our thinking, our thoughts, and as you're saying, these belief
yes.
systems that
yes.
that keep us small, that keep us stuck, keep us in our comfort zone, even if it's not a comfortable comfort zone. They keep us stuck there, don't they?
The interesting thing about beliefs is that when you have beliefs, you think they're right. I mean, otherwise you
yes.
wouldn't have them, right? Like they're
yeah.
beliefs, they're true. That's the truth. It's not just like this, you know, theory to you, it's the truth. And so when you're living in what you believe to be your truth, you don't actually know that there's other options, because how can there be something different to do than the truth, you know? So it's kind of a trap. It's a trap for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the classic example I think everyone can relate to this, even if you haven't ever done any of this sort of inner work with a coach or anyone of anything like that, is when everybody believed the world was flat. I mean, that was when people believed that was their truth. That was what they believed. It was true. And anybody who might venture further than the horizon would fall off the end of the earth.
That's right. They were dead. Worse than that, they were going to die if they went out there. They were foolish. And being held in our culture right now as being foolish is, is like one of the greatest sins. And so people are afraid to take steps. They're afraid to make a change because of the appearance of being foolish, which, you know, I say, hey, let's all be foolish on purpose. Let's all get down and silly. And then it's a little bit easier to change.
So, Mel.
Yes, honey.
Awesome. Cool. So let's go back to these belief systems and believing that the world is flat. And you said, like, let's start getting silly with ourselves. And this, when I talk about happiness and high performance, a lot of clients, we look at really how to essentially be more godlike, bring more happiness in, because we sort of forget that along the way. As you said, we tend to get serious and we tend to worry about what people think about ourselves. And that is like a manifestation of the ego. We tend to get serious.
Yes.
So what would you say to your clients or your people about how to bring more joy back into life, how to be more childlike.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is funny that we spend, you know, our whole life like trying not to be childlike, and then we have to actually focus on, oh, how do we become more childlike? it's funny. But you know what, I think that, you know, if something that I work with people on is like, what already brings you joy? You don't have to look that far, really, is my experience.
Yeah.
You know, what already brings you great joy? What makes you smile? Why do you think cat videos are so popular on the internet? Because for a lot of people, that makes them really happy, you know? And so what is it? What is it that makes you happy? What brings you joy? And how do you give joy? How do you actually spread joy yourself? And just create opportunities in your life to do more of that. Just expand what already is, what already is happening, and just make that bigger. And it's much more organic that way, and a little bit easier to integrate than trying to go find something new, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. Okay.
Like you, I love, you know, when we put on Pharrell's song and we just start dancing, and it just, you know, it changes your vibration. It just you get silly. You gotta get up and shake it a little bit, and you know, shake off the old and in with all that new breath and energy, and it can shift your day. And then from there, you can be more creative, and you can be more effective and more efficient, all of those things, because you're coming from a completely different place.
Absolutely. The end of last year, 100 Days of Happiness and the lead up to 31st of December. And I think you saw me do that. I was posting on social media. And every day I literally got up. One of the first things I do is I'd get up and I'd dance to Pharrell's Happy Song. And one thing I always say to people is, you know, energy flows, depression goes. So the more you focus on happiness, the more you focus on high performance, the more you focus on being brilliant, well, then you'll attract more of that into your life.
Right.
And so focusing on happiness for 100 days was just fantastic. Certainly
Ups
my energy every single day.
Exactly. It helped you. So you get up and you have to go, what can I do for my happiness project? I got to do it and that's something else today. And you're seeking out happiness.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? You know,
exactly.
How awesome is that?
Exactly. Amazing. So one thing you're mentioning then is to focus on happiness, to focus on what you love doing and not create and not go out and sort of look for things out there. Just get back to basics and looking at really what you do enjoy doing. And
I'd like to say something about that, Amy, because I just did a rant on Periscope about this the other day, where I work with a lot of people who are trying to define their purpose, you know, because they believe that if they were doing their purpose, then they would be happy, like that there would be happiness if they were doing their purpose. But what ends up happening is that this whole elusive purpose that they can't find, then that becomes their reason to not be happy or fulfilled or being of service, because they're trying to find their purpose.
Right.
And so I was having a rant about it the other day because it's just so silly, and it's actually just a big excuse to not like bloom where you're planted, be happy where you're planted, be of service where you already are, because guess what? That is your purpose. Where you are right now, doing what you're doing right now, is your purpose for now, for today. Now, you may want to shift that. You may want to shift to other kinds of work or other ways of being. That's fine. But your purpose right now is to be where you are and to be a light there, to be brilliant there, and not like someday when you find your purpose, because that's just an excuse to keep you stuck and unhappy and, ineffective where you're sitting right now. That's it. Don't get me started.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Look
amazing.
Out.
Amazing. I have this conversation with a lot of clients too, exactly about that. It's about purpose, about being happy. And we sort of tend to look at, well, when I'm, if I do this, then I'll have this, then I'll be happy. And it's like, well, no, you can't do and then have. It's like you do a job so you can have a nice house and a nice car so that eventually you'll be happy. And it's like, well, no, actually, put the happiness, be happy first.
Right.
Choose that first. Choose that right here, right now. Exactly like you said, bloom where you're planted. And then go to work and take that energy and that joy to work, to love your relationship. And then you'll have a beautiful house, but you'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, let's pretend that opportunity is a person. Opportunity is a person, and opportunity is coming around and knocking on different doors to see who answers, you know. Opportunity knocks on the door of, like, Mr. Grumpy and decides to not, you know, hang around, right? It's like you just being happy invites opportunity. People want to, to work with you. People want to be around you because you have that, you know, positive, upbeat vibration. You're happy no matter what, and they love that. It's contagious. But, you know, when you're not happy, it's the exact opposite. No one wants to be around that, including opportunity, and you just don't see the same, you know, the same opportunities that someone else who is happy gets. How it works.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. So what would be your number one tip then? You know, if you're looking at, because you mentioned to me previously that some of your clients, when they come to you first, they're frustrated, and they perhaps sense, or feel like control, magic of change. What would be your number one tip for them to start off with?
That the number one tip for somebody who's frustrated,
yeah,
and they don't even know where to start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I like to do is first with someone is to take an inventory. We just do an inventory list, and I give them sort of like some homework, and I give them different categories of things that they're going to put on this inventory list. But one of the things on this inventory list is all the things that they're super grateful in their life. So what are the things that are totally working? Most people, especially when they know that they need to change, they start focusing on what's not working, which tends to just amplify that even more and make them feel even worse. Because people think, this is hilarious, but people think that the more they punish themselves, the more that will make them change. And the opposite.
Right.
So
I've been there, done that.
Right? Well, me too. That's why I know. That's why we know these things, Amy. Let's not lie.
Exactly.
So taking an inventory of everything that we're really, really grateful for helps put you in a receptive mindset, one of like, wow, things aren't as bad as I was feeling that they were. Because sometimes we think our feelings are what's actually happening, or that feelings are true. And you know what? Feelings are feelings. Just because you feel something doesn't even make it true. It's just that you're feeling it. It's true that you're feeling that in that moment. But, you know, it's like the weather. It comes and it goes, and tomorrow you could be feeling something else. You don't run your life by your feelings. You just experience feelings. And so what we want to do, though, is we want to run our life by our values. And if you really value gratitude, you will have a happy life no matter what it is that you do, no matter what you do. So that's what that's my number one tip. Number one is to make your list of the things you're grateful for. Expand that list. Look for it. It's like looking for happiness. You're looking for everything that's working. You're looking for people you appreciate, the sounds you appreciate, the smells, the taste, everything in your experience. What is it that you're truly grateful for?
Yes, I completely agree. And you and I both met at one of Brendon Burchard's courses in San Francisco. And for those who don't know who Brendon Burchard is, he's one of the world's top coaches in high performance. We went to High Performance Academy, and he always said, I remember what he said, the generator generates energy. Don't you remember that?
Right.
But
right.
The generator is you and I. We are the generators of our own energy. So the more we focus on our values, on gratitude, on happiness, the more we generate of that. It's like reciprocal universe who gives back our level of energy. And it always makes me laugh when I think of that. The generator generates energy.
Right. Well, and that's
fantastic.
Why, you know, when I work with, and we talked a bit about this before, where, you know, that victim mentality is one of why do all these negative things happen to me? And when we get into a gratitude mentality, it's like, wow, look at all these wonderful things that always happen to me. You know, in fact, one of the jokes in my family is I always say, you know, I've always said, and so they always repeat it back to me, I always say, I lead such a charmed life. I lead a charmed life. I can't even help it. All these good things happen to me all the time. And so they always go, oh, where are you going now? Or what are you doing? Oh, it must be nice to lead a charmed life. I go, yes, it is. Because I hold myself in that belief system now. I lead a charmed life, and you lead a charmed life, and we can all lead a charmed life.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, when we make the decision to do so. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I at the beginning of the year, I saw a post that Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes. Yep.
She wrote a post on creating a gratitude jar. So she'd taken a mason jar, and every day for a year, she took 5 minutes just in the morning, every morning, to write down three things she was grateful for. And then she put them in that mason jar. And then by the end of the year, she had this incredible gift that she was gifting herself, which was a sort of 500-600 different messages of gratitude that she'd written throughout the year. And on 31st of December that year, she started taking them out one by one and reading them. And it was just this huge sort of overwhelming, or not in a bad way, but in a great way, abundance of gratitude that she had generated throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
So I started that this year myself, and I get my clients to do it too, for the most part. It's just a really great gesture, and it's there beside your bed, and you get it's one of the first things you do in the morning. You get up and put a little note of gratitude in the gratitude jar. So,
I love that.
That's a great
awesome
thing to do. Yeah. Wonderful. So I'm just going to let everybody know here, and before we go any further, how they can get in touch with you. Melody has a website called mastermel.com, mastermel.com. And on Facebook, facebook.com/Melody Meyer, which is MelodieMeyer. And your Twitter handle and Instagram handle are the same, aren't they? So there's Periscope,
all
Lab.
All the same. Everything's the same. Yeah.
All the
all
same.
It.
It's all at... Yeah. At Melody Meyer, so MelodieMeyer.
Five E's.
So that's how we
five
can get in touch with Melody. Wonderful. Okay, so I'd like you now just to talk a little bit about how you got into karate, what is a fifth Dan black belt, and what's it like to be in the Karate Union Hall of Fame?
Well, I got into martial arts kind of by accident. I started dating a martial arts instructor. And I had no intention of getting into martial arts. You know, I had two boys. I was a single mom, and they were very much interested in taking martial arts. But I myself, I thought it was about fighting, and I don't like fighting. I'm more about peace and love, and can't we all just get along?
Yep.
So I thought martial arts was about fighting, so I wasn't that interested. But as I learned more about it, I was very much into fitness, however, and I was already a personal trainer at the time. When I learned that martial arts was actually about keeping peace, and it actually started with peace within first, at least the art that I was
wonderful
that I learned about, that the fight is never on the outside, that it's always within, and that's what we have to work on. That it was like, then I was intrigued, you know? Yeah. So then I started taking just a few lessons because I thought it would help my kickboxing classes, because I was a kickboxing instructor, a fitness kickboxing instructor. So I thought, well, I'll take some martial arts classes just to, you know, get my technique better and so forth. But I just started really enjoying it. And I found it to be very empowering. It was an inner journey as much as it was a physical journey. And, of course, I'm all about that. And I'm continuously trying to learn and grow and just engage my mind on a whole new level. It also, you know, worked with my body and doing things I didn't know I could even do. And it became one of those
wow.
things that I just loved. And the routine of it and the discipline of it, all of it really appealed to a part of my mind that I didn't even know wanted that kind of stimulation. So, yeah, I started just, you know, moving one step in front of the other. And in fact, I didn't know that I would, you know, I never had a goal at the beginning to be a black belt. That wasn't one of my goals, but it was to sort of take the next step or to take on the next challenge. I didn't want to look too far down the road, or I was afraid I'd get discouraged and not continue. So I just took what was in front of me. And the beautiful thing about the art that I teach is that, you know, it really is only about what's happening now. And it's a building block. So whatever you're doing now is the foundation for what you're going to do tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow, because you can't do that yet until you have worked on this foundational piece today. And I really like that physically and philosophically. So I just kept going, and pretty soon I had my black belt, and then I trained in some other things, and I learned what I needed to learn and got my second degree black belt and so forth. And so Dan just means degree. So I'm a fifth degree black belt now.
Okay.
And
goodness
and,
me.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
so
fantastic. I mean, I knew that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
No,
I knew that martial artists, you know, martial arts had a spiritual journey, but I didn't quite realize it was to that degree. And it's totally in line with a lot of what I teach as well. Is all about presence. It's about what's about the journey, obviously, not the destination. And we hear that, and it kind of sounds cheesy now because we've heard that so much, but actually, when you really begin to start applying that and you really begin to be here now, be in the present moment, as you said, it is about what's happening now. You then have much, or at least in my experience, you then have much more capacity to choose happiness, to choose gratitude right here.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Exactly. No, totally. Yeah, if you start trying to do time travel, like either into the past or into the future, then you're going to be very disappointed.
I love
because,
it. I love it.
Because you're all you're going to do is experience really the heartbreak of what you imagined happened in the past or what you're imagining is going to happen, and they're usually negative fantasies. So why not just be with what is right now? You're totally safe in this moment. Be here, expand that, enjoy that, for crying out loud, and the rest will take care of itself,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes. Expansion. Amazing. One thing I learned, I think also from having been an athlete for quite a long time, is it is about routine, and it is about that inner strength.
Mm.
And one thing my teacher, my spiritual teacher, said to me once upon a time was, There's freedom in discipline. And it sort of sounds like a contradiction in terms, but I think karate, martial arts demonstrate that, because it's the discipline gives you the boundaries and the framework and the structure. And once you learn that, I guess it's a bit like learning to drive a car. You have to go through the processes and the structure and what to do first, when, and but then you once you get good at it, you're then more able to free will. You're then more able to
then you get to be the artist.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's an art. There's an
the
art
artist of life.
there's an art and science to everything, and mm-hmm. you know, we have to get the science down part. You know, we have to get that down first. So if you want to write a beautiful book, you have to actually know a language. You have to know how to write in that language. You have to know how to make sentences and all of that kind of stuff. You know, it's like you got to get the science part down, and then you get to play. Then you get to play with what it is that you've learned and put your own self into it and your creative force into it.
Absolutely. It's so exciting. I love talking about this. Now, as we were talking about Pharrell's Happy Song earlier, just for everybody listening, I asked Mel what one of her most favorite songs was that uplifts her and gets her in the zone. So she chose We Are the World. So I'm just going to play that for you, and then we're going to have a little chat about the song and why Mel chose this song particularly. Okay, so here we go. Powerful. When that came out, it just floored me every single time. It's so amazing. All of those artists coming together for a united world and for sharing their love. So the song downloaded, I think everybody knows that song by now, and it can be downloaded on iTunes and any other downloadable source. I think iTunes is the main one. So Mel, tell me a little bit why you chose that one particularly.
Well, you know, because I do a lot of work about personal responsibility, personal empowerment, that I think this is a great song that can that helps me lift out of my own victim thoughts, you know, that it's up to us to make the change. We have all the power to do it within ourselves. And it's just great to have one another, that we're all working on this journey together. So why not band together? Why not, you know, support each other in our own personal development as we all are working towards the same thing anyway, you know? So I feel hope. I don't feel isolated when I hear this song. I feel together with other people that are on the journey. I feel a lot of strength when I hear this song about creating, you know, being where we are now and being grateful for now, and then also making plans on how we're going to make it even better and moving forward, onward, and upward. Yeah, it's powerful for me in that way.
It so is.
And just, you know, some people might think
that music brings.
Well, it's you know, to me, to some people, this song might be about charity, you know, lending a hand out, you know, in a charitable way. You know, I think this was originally for, you know, for Africa. And although I love the people of Africa, and we do all need to come together as a planet and as different countries and support one another, you know, because I'm all about that internal journey, it, for me, it starts. It's much more personal than that. You know, I can't help anyone in Africa if I haven't helped myself. You know, I can't even help my neighbor next door to me until I have done the work within myself. And so when I listen to this, you know, we are the world, we are the children, we're the ones who make a brighter day. Like that, I'm, you know, if I take we out of it, because sometimes it's easier to shift the responsibility onto somebody next to you. Right? It's like, I am the one who makes a brighter day. I am the one. So I'm going to start giving. It's a choice I'm making. I'm saving my own life. We can make a better day, you know? So it's, If I take 100% of the responsibility and just drag everybody else along with me, that's called leadership. Personal leader within yourself. Right?
I love that. And when you talk about responsibility, this is always an interesting conversation I have with clients as well. When you're talking about responsibility, what's the kind of responsibility you mean here? Like, what would be your definition of it? Because when we grow up, we're sort of taught that responsibility is a bad thing. It's like, who's responsible for this mess kind of thing? I've come to learn a different meaning. Yes.
That's
how would you define responsibility in this sense?
It's the possibility of creating whatever outcome happens. So it's a potential. It's not even, in fact, I see it more as a verb, and that you're taking responsibility, you're taking action, the buck stops with you, which is an empowering thing, not a disempowering or blame thing. And it's much easier to change when you know that you are responsible for your results. Where we get into trouble is when we start having judgment. It's not the responsibility that's so bad, but it's that we start judging the outcome. So if I take responsibility, let's say, Amy, you and I have a communication issue, okay? Something happens, and our communication is failing big time, and we're falling out of our friendship because of this miscommunication. Well, I can blame you for your parts of it and so forth, or I can say, I'll take 50% of the responsibility, but that's still not empowering enough for me. What I want to do is I want to take 100% of responsibility for the miscommunication, not the blame,
Yeah.
And not go, oh, I'm such a bad mm-hmm. person because I did this or whatever. No. In fact, we don't even have to go into history and sort all that out necessarily. I'm taking 100% responsibility because now do something about it. And I can create a different outcome. So responsibility creates a space or a potential of which we can step forward into with the results that we actually want to create. And so that totally empowers me and gets me excited and I get juiced up because now I can do something else. I can create a different outcome, the one that I want.
Yes, and rather than sort of reacting and responding, you get the choice then to create, like you said, to create a different outcome.
Proactive, exactly. In fact, in martial arts,
wonderful.
That is a big deal because you wanna be the proactive one, not just the one taking in everything. You want to have the plan, and you're guiding whatever's coming towards you. You're using it proactively. It might look like it's reactive, but actually you have a plan of what you're going to be doing with what is happening that's coming towards you. And that's, you know, where empowerment is working with what you've got and moving it in and molding it into what it is and transforming it into what it is that you want to create.
Wonderful. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Before I do that, I'm just going to give the call number again. So in the last 10 minutes, if anybody has any more questions, feel free to call in. The call number is 646. This is if you're in the States. If you're in anywhere else, there's a live chat that you can type a question in and I will read it and answer it. So if you're in the States, feel free to call in, which is 646-716-7979. Okay. I will be taking calls in just a moment. Firstly, I have another question to ask Mel. So my next question really, Mel, given that this is the Being Brilliant radio show, what is being brilliant for you?
Well, to me, I mean, of course, it's I take it literally first because I tend to do that a lot. That's kind of how I'm wired. And it just the word, you know, brilliant makes me think of a star. It makes me think of the sun or maybe even a diamond. But just, you know, sparkles, being bright, being fully alive. And, you know, it comes back to what we were talking about right at the beginning of the show, Amy, in that if you know what brings you joy already, that is where you sparkle. That is where that spark of joy is lit, and it's what makes you happy. And when you're happy, you do sparkle more. You and we all know people like that, right? You go, wow, they're so sparkly.
Yes.
They're so shiny. And it can get on your nerves if you're not really happy.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, where do you shine? Where do you already shine a little bit? Polish it up, baby. Shine more there. Spread it around. Let other people bask in your sun, in your glory, in what it is that, in your joy. Let it out.
And we so tend to hide. I mean, I know I've done this for a lot of my life. And I'm still stepping into, like, starting this radio show and starting a TV show soon and getting up on more stages. But it's really about being more visible rather than hiding. And I remember the famous Marianne Williamson quote, which, you know, we've all, especially in this industry, we've all heard it a million times, which is talking about who am I to do this? Who am I to do that? And because when you shine your light, you give permission to others to shine theirs too. And this is really what I see you doing. You have such a bright sparkle in your eyes. You live such a charmed life, as you said.
It's true.
It's so true. And you keep reaffirming that. And so you're not hiding anymore. You know, you were in the past when you were going through all of your struggles earlier on. But, you know, you keep approaching that star now.
Well,
so, yeah,
and,
polish
you know,
it up.
I think that is what I learned, you know, when I mentioned a little bit about my story about when I was little and I was shining, that there were other people that just didn't like that. you know, and that's where the bullying came in, because, you know, it's like someone else is more shiny than me, so I have to bring them down, and I have to make them hide that, because I don't like that reflection. And so it's really great, you know. I have a daily show on Periscope called Daily Intentions.
Yes, you do.
And I think I'm going to do a show about really looking for the light in other people, and like building that up, instead of us all, you know, trying to make each other hide. You know, like, you're shining too bright, like, tone it down. It's like, no, crank it up, honey, crank it up. How can I crank it up within myself, but also how can I help other people really shine and be their best? Because isn't that what we really want? We want to be our best around other people who are being their best, and now that is exciting. That energy is unbelievable, and we all want that, so why not be the leader of that, or the instigator of that, you know?
Yes. So true. So once again, I'm going to give you Melody's details, mastermel.com. And in terms of social media, she is at Melody, MelodeeMeyer, at Melody Meyer. And that goes for Twitter, Periscope, Lab, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Melody is everywhere. She's shining her light super bright and whatever portal she possibly can.
Oh, and
I love it so much.
I started Snapchat a little while ago, Amy. Don't do it. Don't go there. Snapchat is so, oh my God. It can be a little bit of a time suck, because you can get really creative on it, and but if you want a little bit of silly fun, I only do silly stuff on there, really. It's more behind the scenes kind of things on Snapchat. I'm playing with it now to see how I want to integrate it into the rest of my social media strategies, but it is silly fun for sure.
Wonderful. So everybody can follow Mel on Snapchat for some silly fun ideas to get you laughing. wonderful. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to call in now. Again, the number is 646-716-7979, and we've got 10 minutes left, so that's 646-716-7979. It looks like I have a caller here. I'm not sure if they're still on, ending in 8059. They've been on for a little while. So I'm just going to unmute and see who this is. Just a moment. or not. Maybe not. That's not unmuting. No? Okay. Anyone else? Feel free to call in. Or, again, in the chat on the website there that you're listening through, you can type in a question. I see guest 99 has logged in, so whoever that is, feel free to type in a question. So, Melody, I have one other question for you. What would be your top three insights that you would share with these listeners so that they can go away from this evening about what it takes to be brilliant? What would be your top? I mean, we've covered a lot already this evening, but what would be the top three things that you would give my listeners to take away?
Well, I'm just going by the kinds of people that I work with already and the issues that they come to me with, that I've been able to sort of discern down into three different areas. And we could get into insights in each one of these areas, but where I find people have a lot of issues is with their body image, loving their body.
Yep.
They hate their body. That's why they come and see me. They want to get fit. They want to lose weight, those kinds of things. So finding a way to love your body, probably one of my top sort of strategies as far as creating more happiness for today, is learning how to be with your body, how to love your body, how to take care of your body. Because without that, you know, without your health, it's really hard to focus on anything else, including, you know, your purpose and all of that, because you're very, you know, taken over with your body and with your health and so forth. So really loving your body. And then I think in the
next category.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, would you say that's the same for men and women? I mean, in your studio, do you have, in your gym, do you have men coming with similar body issues as well as women? I mean, I, obviously, as a woman, I know what it's all like, what it's about.
Surprisingly, there's a lot of men. There's a lot of men who have eating disorders, body image problems. That and to them, it's almost more devastating in a way, because they are kind of relegated over, like with the women, you know. Because a lot of guys don't even think about it.
Yeah.
But the men who do have a problem with those things, it's definitely there. And then even with the men who don't think they have a problem, they may not be taking care of themselves. They may not be, they may not have the health or energy. They're managing their energy levels with, you know, caffeine and drugs and alcohol, rather than, you know, really feeding themselves properly, those kinds of things. So everyone can really take a basic course in physical fitness and love. So that really is a key to, you know, to basic health on every level, is making sure that you've been taking care of your body in a way that is going to give the results that you want.
Wonderful. Okay. Number two. What would you say number two is?
So that's that first category. And then the second category is really about loving yourself. Now, some people might want to throw the body in there, but when I say self, I am actually saying self with a capital S, meaning your highest self, who you truly are, and building a relationship with that being. Okay, so I believe that we're spiritual beings having a physical relationship, physical experience, and so in that philosophy, the idea that yourself is much, you know, you have a body, you aren't your body, you have a mind, you're not your mind. Well, then who are you? You're this self, of which it's your opportunity and actually your job to build a relationship with yourself and learn to love who that is, because that's everything else can be taken care of once you've established that relationship and that that love with this being of whom you really truly are, and stop running the life, you know, from the mind or that the ego place, but sort of transcend all that to who you truly are. And that's difficult to stay in that place all the time, because we do have a computer that runs things automatically, and that's fine. But having a way to tap in either through meditation or some kind of regular practice where you are consciously choosing in to explore yourself and to love yourself, a big category, but also something that takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of, you know, conscious thought. So that's number two. And then number three is
that's
really loving.
Number three.
Oh, go ahead. Did you want to say something about that?
No, just that's such a huge area. And I know that you've been living that journey for a long time, as I have as well. And I know that it's what you teach and it's what I teach as well. And it comes back to that sense of presence about, as you're saying earlier, it is about what's happening now. And, you know, when you find yourself in a sticky situation and, you know, your heart starts beating faster, your hands go clammy, maybe you go bright red, or, you know, you're in a difficult situation or you're stressed, anxious, it's in those moments practice has the most effect. And there are a myriad of different ways of doing little tricks and meditations and that sort of thing to get you present back in the moment, even when you're in, you know, an argument or something or other. The way I always look at it is, how can you be a lighthouse and shine your light no matter how fierce the storm?
Yes.
And I think people can sort of relate to that, because a lighthouse, doesn't matter how fierce the storm is, it keeps shining its light. So it keeps returning itself back to itself with a capital S, as you were saying. and what that is. And that self is just this radiant being of inner peace and love and happiness. And then we have the human experience, which takes us away from that, the ego. But as we get more and more wary of the ego and conscious of it, and it's games, then we can be more and more present and step into loving ourselves for the kindness. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Okay, and number three?
Number three is love your work. And what I mean by work is your work is actually what it is that you do that is of service to others. So you might have a job. That doesn't mean that's your work. You work at your job, perhaps. But even if you have a job, what is it in your job that is your work, that you're meant to be doing, that is your contribution to others? And how can you, you know, and how can you find a way to love that and to, so that you can be doing that more, be more fully engaged in your work? And I find that people are much more satisfied with their jobs, more satisfied with their life, with their relationships, when they just are living them on purpose, you know, and just go, wow, I've found, you know, I work at the post office and I find joy in this way because this is my work of how I share with others or how I give to others. So this is, we are here to be of service to one another. And so be conscious of the way that you do that, and you will love your work and you will love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you'll have more things to be grateful for. And if you want to change your work, that's fine. But even that will happen more organically and gracefully as you expand your brilliance of where you already are and the work you're already doing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mel. We're literally down to the last minute. so if anybody, you and I could talk for hours, I know that.
Right?
If anybody wants to get hold of Mel, you can find her at mel.com. And at Melody Meyer, MelodeMeyer. If anyone wants to get hold of me, feel free to find me. My Twitter handle is, or Twitter, link, Periscope and all that, at Amy Hackett Jones, AmyHackettJones, long old name. And my website is amyhackettjones.com. So feel free to follow Melody. And look out for the next one in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much, Mel. It's been a huge pleasure.
Oh, so fun. Went by so quickly, girlfriend. We'll have to talk again soon.
I know. Definitely.
Take
Thank
care.
You so much. You've been a wonderful guest. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
On your mark. Get set, save. Get to Nissan's Bottom Line Summer event and take home a winner with big model year-end offers on our award-winning lineup. Hurry, offers end soon. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.